This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. This week, we're listening to the stories of residents of SROs, that's single-room occupancy buildings, or residential hotels. There are about 19,000 San Franciscans living in SROs today, but that number is scarce compared to 50 years ago. In the 60s and 70s, many of San Francisco's residential hotels were demolished when the city's high-rise financial district boomed into existence. By the end of the 70s, immigrant communities and low-wage workers who depended on the cheap dormitory-style housing organized against demolitions. The highest-profile protest was the I Hotel, where hundreds of activists camp out.
Both the International Hotel and its commercial tenants are subject to eviction at any time, day or night. This is the most critical stage of the struggle to save the International Hotel.
Eventually, the protesters were forcibly removed and arrested, and the building demolished. That event galvanized organizers and neighborhood groups in Chinatown, the Tenderloin, and others to push laws restricting SRO conversions. That's why today, on some of the most desirable real estate in the world, there are homes for people who often would otherwise be homeless. Let's meet one of those SRO residents now.
Hi, my name is Jeannie Vandegrift. I live at the Linnane Hotel here in San Francisco, and I love living in San Francisco because it offers so much for seniors, and there's so much to do, and I'm very content living where I live. I was a foster parent for 11 years before I got an ulcer, and I just couldn't do it anymore. It was the hardest I've ever worked in my life, but I felt that I made an immediate impact on society, and what I did counted, and they all called me Mom. Over 230. I ran a satellite home, taking them directly from a trauma situation into my home. My husband had been arrested for bank robbery, and we lost our house, our home, to foreclosure. And I think it's harder for a man than it is a woman. Because I told him, we got a place, we got a roof over our head, we got food on the table, we're together. The rest is just stuff. You know, we're together. But he had two mental breakdowns, flipped out, and robbed five banks. I went on drugs. I landed up on drugs. It was like a breakdown for both of us. I was bigger than I am now, and I kept stressing about my weight. And my daughter says, I can show you how to lose weight, but it's illegal. And I thought, well, I'm a product of the 60s. And that's how I was introduced to crank. You don't say to yourself, I'm going to lose my teeth, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, but I'm going to be thin, which I did. I lost almost 100 pounds. Like I said, I was big. But I worked the whole time. I was a functioning addict. And because I didn't start till I was 47, I've gotten counseling over this. My morals and my standards were already set. So I didn't do a lot of things girls do for drugs. You know, I mean, I wasn't getting them for free, so I had to pay for them. So I maintained my dignity, and that was important to me. My oldest daughter, I told her she was arrested, and I said, you can come stay with me. Well, even the police said she was trying to strong-arm me out of my own apartment. She turned, you know, I make a home. Wherever I live, I make my home. It's not a house. She turned it into a drug house, and we got evicted. She took off, and I'm sitting there watching myself, all my stuff being loaded into a trailer, and I'm thinking, I just can't do this anymore. I can't. And I will be clean 8 years in October. My family, I've gained the respect back. My oldest one is the one who's a drug addict. My middle one quit before me. And my youngest one is clean over a year and a half now, and she said her new addiction is work. She just loves to work. She got herself a car. She's registered, insured. And now she's got a second job. I hope that's not going to lead to burnout, you know. But it's just a 3 hours a night at a Dollar Tree. And I'm very proud of her. Nothing will jeopardize my sobriety. It's easy to quit methamphetamines. You just put us in a corner and we'll sleep it off. Staying off methamphetamines, just like any drug, you know. Staying off the drug. To this day, I battle, you know. I still get the craving, but I don't do it. Because I'm never going to let my life be like that again. I got a Macy's card. I've got a Michael Kors purse that was a gift, but it's elegant, elegant. And I have a Visa card. This is not where you want to die in a hotel like this, but you know what? I'm fine here.